This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 400. Minorities, you don't say!
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are joined by the one, the only, the man, Mayor Young.
Greetings, salutations, other forms of hello.
Hello. I love Dame Edna. Alright, so first and foremost, it's our 400th episode.
Yay. Big 400.
Yeah! We actually made it!
I know. You didn't
punk out!
I know.
I'm so excited!
I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud of you!
It's the longest commitment I've had in my whole
life. I am the longest relationship that you've ever had.
And we'll continue.
Committed.
To have, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, committed. To be honest.
No.
Like, this is
hashtag
vested.
Committed.
You know, down for life.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not going to say hashtag down for life because...
Well, it's even funny because you could go hashtag DTF.
Down
to fiesta.
No. Hashtag DTF, completely different
down for,
thing. It is not down to fiesta.
Down to fiesta.
I looked that one up on the interwebs. It's a different thing. Not doing
down
it.
To frolic.
No.
Totally DTF. Down to frolic.
It's a different type of frolic.
DTF down for fried chicken. Down to fried chicken. I'm down to fried chicken tonight.
Who's not down to fried chicken? Anyway, episode 400. It's already starting off perfect.
It's great.
I have to say that, in all honesty, I really did not think that we were going to make it to 400.
Oh, really?
I really didn't. I, like, when we hit 150, I was like, damn. This is good. You know, if we make it to 200, we will have done something. Because, you know, there's an age difference for us.
Clearly.
You know, and we were across the country. I had no idea whether or not, you know, you were going to get a man and move and maybe, you know, fall
that
out of love
happen.
With video games.
Oh, no, I'm never falling out of
you
love
know,
with video
games. People mature and change their shit.
That just you just go from a G rated game to an NC-17.
What is this maturity?
So
I don't understand.
I've heard tell of it upon the interwebs, so you know it must be true. But there's like this thing that happens where you like become quote unquote mature, and then you let go of quote unquote childish things. I don't know what it really means, but I saw it on the web, so it must be true. I haven't hit it yet, but whatever. But I really thought that, you know, between our lifestyle changes and things like that and, you know, different members of the team who have come and gone because, you know, poor little out for the homies, our team has changed up quite a bit over the last 8 years.
We've dropped a lot of flies.
I mean, I was trying to be nice about it.
No, it was like that song, Another Goose Bites the Duck.
I don't quite think that's how the song goes.
Another one bites the dust. But
that's
then it's another goose bites. Because we're a goose, and we bit a duck, and it left because it was angry.
Bite it.
I can't.
Duck is tasty.
What did... I can't. All right. So, anyway.
I'm sorry. It's another one bites.
Seriously, right?
Someone should make that a meme.
You know... Here's the thing. I have to say, let's talk about this for a hot second before we go back to, like, blah, 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 and how awesome we are for doing 8 years. Anyway, I have to say, the meme game of late has really been upped.
Yeah.
Like, legit memes that I've seen going around on social lately have really gone up in quality and also wittiness.
I think that's the whole point of a meme.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, there are some dumb memes that were just real... Okay, there's a lot of, like, not a lot of thought, not a lot of wit, just somebody who had Photoshop trying to make something popular, a couple of people following, and then knew where he went. But, like, the Kermit the Frog one going around, that's none of Kermit's business.
Yeah, with him drinking the iced tea.
That's been used very fucking cleverly by a lot of people, and not just ones in my theme. Because
I don't get that one.
What do you mean you don't get it? What?
I don't get it.
It's he's just, 17.
Yeah, he's just talking shit, and then 17. But it ain't none of my business, though. So just talking shit, and then be like, "But I didn't talk the shit, though."
You know that black lady.
Yeah. You know that one who talks shit and talks about all the other people, but then said, "But it ain't none of my thing." So I wasn't talking about
people. I know people who do that.
Yes, that's what that whole meme is.
Kermit's doing it.
I have an acquaintance that I've told you a lot about.
Yes, I know.
My very first.
Yes.
And like one of her hashtags is always sips her tea.
Yes.
And I didn't get it.
Yes.
And now that makes so much more sense.
That's
I was like, what does tea have to do with any of this?
Welcome to 2 years ago.
Yeah. Panda got her first.
Oh, Panda. We love you.
Panda got her first ratchet friend.
Her first ratchet friend?
Yeah, I had no idea. Her first ratchet.
I was like, Ninja, I'm like, she always has something to say about all this other stuff, and I just don't have the patience. Like, it just hurts. I'm like, I'm trying to find ways to, like, get out of conversation. I'm like, oh, look, there's this thing over here. I have to go get this thing.
And so I went, wait, is this your first ratchet? And she's like, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh.
Like, she's like, out to lunch. A and B and this dude, that. I'm like, whoa, stop.
Yeah. So
I give her pearls of wisdom, and she's just like, I'll just put that in my earring right quick because I'm missing one.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, damn.
And it goes home. And it goes away.
It hurts my soul.
But yeah, the meme game's really been upped. There's a lot of people that have honed Photoshop skills very well.
Like, yeah.
Reddit has become legit. Like, did you ever imagine Reddit being legit?
No.
Like, think about it. But it is.
In the land of pure imagination, maybe.
Between surfacing pertinent information, great finds as far as talent, being able to hook people up and help people freaking find people that ran people over, people that are looking for adoptive parents.
Yeah.
Plus, you know,
people should just the FBI should buy Reddit and just make them all.
You know they're trolling Reddit. But it's like, it's so funny to me to think of, like, you know, things like 4chan and Reddit, which are really just started just to be completely random out there internet troll dens.
Say what you're going to say and no one's going
to
judge you.
And now, you know, celebrities go there to do AMAs, to get more cred. Like, you know, the whole thing with Will Ferrell and Chad, what's his name? The drummer from Red Hot Chili Peppers. That came out of his AMA that they looked alike. Like, and then blowing up and becoming a thing and having the drum off in Fallon. Like, I never imagined that something that was my, like, little thing that I knew about because I was in the know and hip on the internet would legit now become a space. Freaking Ellen does AMAs.
Right. It's interesting, though, because when you think about how you guys have been doing this for like 8 years now, the landscape of the internet has changed so much in that time.
Completely. Like, there weren't Google Hangouts. It was very difficult, and you had to invest a lot of money in order to be able to do video and to do it well. Yeah. You know, there were all kinds of guidelines that you had to go about in order to get a decent YouTube channel going. Justin didn't exist yet. Twitch didn't exist yet.
Didn't Justin just recently shut down?
Yeah, it's not that Justin's being shut down. It's basically, they're going to devote all the servers to Twitch, and they're just not going to publish anything anymore on Justin. So it's all moving over to Twitch, which, frankly,
Monopoly.
Is a smart move.
Monopoly.
No, it's called Profit, bitch.
Now, wait, what song was that?
That would be Monomina.
Monomina.
But saying Monopoly, got it. Okay. I was like, what's happening
Monopoly
there? She was like, Monopoly. That's hilarious. I'm sorry.
No, but it's just like, it's amazing to see and think back to how much has changed. Like, we started out on Blogger.
Yep, you know, I remember that.
And so the story was originally the website that we were going to do was called Splendid Blunder, bought the domain, and it was basically going to be a remix channel. So I had the idea for SoundCloud like back in the day, and I just didn't do it. And what we were going to do.
You could have been a billionaire.
Fucking shit, right? And what we were going to do.
You had one job.
I had one fucking job, and I ran away from it.
Billionaire.
And so what we were going to do is we were going to put out the base of a track. that we created in GarageBand, and ultimately, when I got my skills better, Logic, for people to then take and remix. And so, and that was going to be the splendid blunder that, you know, people just by picking up other people's stuff and then layering more things onto it or taking things out could create a great song. Like, that was the idea. And so we bought the domain and we started playing with GarageBand back and forth, sending stuff to each other, and we just couldn't get it right. And the files
were suck at it.
And the files were so big, and I was like, well, fuck, I already bought the domain. What are we going to do? And I started doing the web design for it. And so we were talking one Friday night, and we completely ended up not talking about music. We started talking about anime and video games that we were playing and watching. And my husband was cracking up listening to us talk. Our mom, I could hear her cracking up listening to Amanda on the other line, and I was just like, maybe we should just do this. Like, we could still do a podcast, but instead of it being about the music creation process and, like, the remix that we did, let's just talk about this stuff for a while. And so that's how the podcast started.
Oh, man, and that was awesome. That was me at age 22.
Yeah.
Woof.
22?
That was 8 years ago.
Yep. And I was able to deal with it, because you at 22 was something else.
Oh, I don't even remember 22.
Yeah, it's really
I imagine it's like that Taylor Swift song.
That's hilarious.
Kind of.
I feel like that's what...
Kind of. To be honest. Taylor Swift was a thing.
That's really terrible.
I know.
But it's kind of true. But legit, like, it was really an accident that the show became what it was.
It was a splendid blunder. Whoops.
And then you think of, like, the whole landscape. So when we started, we were on Blogger. You know, there were no easy ways to capture audio out of Skype. So people were using, you know, old audio mixers to get people into a room to try and do podcasts. There were really few guys out there that were podcasting about video games. Nelson had, I think, just before we started our podcast, like, legit signed on to be the voice of Xbox.
Right.
Gamertag was out there, and we were listening to them. All Games is out there, and we were listening to them. But there were, like, very few who were doing things about video games. And there was nobody talking about anime.
No.
The podcast session on iTunes had, like, 15 shows in it. And it's amazing when you look at it now, and there's, like, thousands upon thousands of podcasts. There are people that are making livings doing video shows on YouTube. Broadcast TV shows have moved off of broadcast and have gone completely digital.
Yep. Like, some of those soap operas.
Yeah, it's, like, crazy when you think of it's been less than a decade, and how much has so dramatically changed in the entertainment sphere. You know, back in the day, there were no females other than a few amazing chicks, by the way, that you even saw on video game programming. There were two channels that even did anything on video games that were in the high end of cable that you had to pay for.
Right.
You know, and now it's freaking everywhere. Variety has a video game section.
I know.
That's crazy.
Like,
well, it's a Variety.
Well, it should be, but it's a legit, like, trade entertainment mag, and the fact that there's actually staffers that talk about video games in Variety is amazing. Vanity Fair has video game reporters now. Yeah. So they're for their social side, which is really interesting, Vanity Fair has started covering pop culture, and part of the pop culture stuff that they're covering is they have a blogger that covers digital entertainment, a piece of that being video games.
Crazy.
And so it's just like legit publications that I never thought would even give video games a second thought, now have dedicated staffers that cover it. Forbes has a whole troop of different freelancers that they bring in to talk about digital entertainment, including video games. You know, we met Carol Pinchevsky at E3, who was from Forbes, and I think she's at Games Radar now. It's just amazing to see how much the industry has changed. Like, the last few trade shows we've been to, there have been, I'm going to say it, more of us at these trade shows. Yes, I said it.
Women?
Yes.
I'm not a woman.
And wait. People of color.
Minorities, what? You don't say.
Yes.
Hey, get out.
keep that on the low. They'll shut this whole video game industry down.
No. There's like a handful of people that listen to our podcast, so we're okay.
Oh, okay, good.
But like, legit, I was... So one of the things that I like playing whenever I go to a trade show, and I typically only go to three because of my wallet, but I love looking at the landscape of who's attending the show. Because for me, it's more of a quick pulse on how the industry is doing, the health of the industry. If it is really and truly diverse, then it is an inclusive industry. And to me, then that says that things are healthy. You've got a balance of story. You've got a balance of interest, money. It's not super niche-y. You know, part of the reason why I stopped going to CES is because CES is completely super niche-y. It's exactly the same audience. It's almost exactly the same devices and the same pictures year after year. It's just we threw more pixels at it this year, or we threw more storage at it this year, but there's not a whole lot of innovation that's coming out of it. And the audience that attends CES has not changed. And in the 7 years that I went to CES, that didn't happen, which is why I stopped going. I have great connections with a bunch of different companies that I can get the information that I need to cover really what matters to us coming out of CES, and that's it. But over the last 3 years, I'd say with the shows that I go to, which are PAXs and E3, the landscape has definitely changed. Like this year, I'd say, just from my observations, and again, it's not like a legit, I did the math and had a counter.
It's scientific.
But at least 10% of the entire audience over the course of the show was female.
Wow.
And that was really impressive to see. And not just attending as far as covering the event and media, and not just working the booth as far as booth babes, but actual people in PR, game developers, people doing demos. It was really fantastic to see that shift. Even more so than last year, year over year, there were definitely more females. And what was really heartwarming to me was every single booth that I went to, every woman that was there in the booth working knew what they were talking about and were passionate about what they were talking about. And that was a big change from any year before that I'd gone to E3.
It's really interesting because it does seem like, you know, we as an industry, we've almost we're still not quite there, but we're very close to surpassing the point of the booth babe, because you don't need a booth babe anymore. You have people who are knowledgeable, or women who are knowledgeable, just like you said. And it's crazy because, I mean, just like, I guess, and this is just like how it is with the men, where, you know, because you have a diverse group, some of them are attractive, some of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, that used to be the draw, right? It's like, oh, we need some women here to go ahead and just kind of bring the guys over. It's like, one, with the industry itself becoming more diverse, it's not about bringing guys over now. It's about bringing people over. And then two, it's like, dude, like, attractive people just happen to be in the industry, whether they be men or women. So you don't, you know, it makes it a moot point almost.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think for me for the last couple of PAXs that I've been to and this last E3 that I noticed is that it's not about attracting the dudes anymore. It right. seems like the industry is finally getting it. And for what really I think was not so much eye-opening, but did take me aback a little bit was how much this year at trade shows emphasis was really put on the game and the content, drawing people into the booth, mm-hmm. not so much the swag.
Right.
Like there wasn't a swag of the show thing at E3 this year, which in past years, that's always been the case. Like, okay, who has the swag item that you have to get? So you go there and you're not really interested at all in their game or what they're showing. You're just trying to get that piece of swag.
Right.
And there really wasn't that. It was, there's a lot of great games, many of which are playable, which is impressive.
Yeah.
And everybody in their booth is knowledgeable of their game.
Right.
And not just reading from the piece of paper that they've been practicing
3 weeks ago
for the last 2 weeks. And I think that that's indicative of the industry really growing up And it's interesting, I think, because the ESA just released a study, and it's a really cool study. It's like 16 pages of like data points. It's Infographic Central, and I fucking love infographics because they relay information in a pleasing way to my eyeball.
But one I enjoy the pie graphs about how often bar graphs are used. I love that one. I'm like, wow, this is a very informative pie chart about bar graphs. Wow.
Oh, man. You should do the plotted point ones that are over bar graphs so you can see change over time.
Holy crap,
that shit's redonk. Data. Whoa. What?
Data.
The study is really interesting because the two things that stood out to me were the average age of the gamer shifting, which we've all known has shifted. I think we've been talking about it for like the last year, just in the fact that we've grown up. Like the people who lived and breathed and ate video games have grown up, and we continue to game in our adulthood. So duh, the age has shifted. But it was really interesting in that they did a study over the last 5 years, and the average age of the game of a gamer now is 31. Which is surprising, because if you ask most people who aren't gamers, they would tell you that, oh yeah, that's like something that 18-year-olds do. Well, yeah, they do, but the average median age is 31. Right. It's the people who grew up playing Ataris and Intellivisions.
Me.
And exactly, and SNESs, and some of us still have all that shit.
I don't
love it. I miss our SNES, and I wish to God that we had not given it to our cousin, because I would still have that shit today.
I'm sure
And
you
we would.
Would
be playing Mario World like a motherfucker. But whatever. That's okay. I got a trip coming.
We don't like that cousin.
Okay? We don't. But that's okay.
Whoa,
we do. Let me not lie.
Wait.
We do.
Is it the taller one?
It's
the
taller
girl?
One. It's the taller one.
I guess I like him.
We kind of like him.
Wait, now why are we being all arcane with it, like, or esoteric? Like, do they listen? They don't listen.
Well, no. No, for the most part, we're pretty sure they don't.
They know which one of them is the tall one.
Yeah, they know which one. Yeah. So, but what's really funny is I as I was going through the report, because again, data, the interesting thing is that the average age of people buying games is 35. So there's this disparity between who's buying games and who's playing them. And I think it's because there are a lot of people who are gifting games to friends now. So it's like, it's completely not taboo anymore to be a gamer.
I think Panda's just pirating the games.
No, I'm not.
Panda wouldn't know how to pirate games.
She's like, no, I'm not.
I copied the EXE file onto my Apple, and nothing happened.
Exactly. That's how Panda pirates
games. Actually, I know that it's a totally different extension.
You learned it from that one time that you copied that EXE, and it didn't work.
I learned it from that one time. I'm like, oh, I need a DMG. I need a different
You're killing
one.
Me. You're killing me.
Or DGM. Oh, whatever it is.
It's okay. It's all right. It's all good.
I was close. It's got a D in it. It's a dot G and there's an M. I know.
Yes. Ready? I'm gonna help you. Disk mountable image.
It's a DMG.
DMG.
DMG. I was right.
You were right.
It's damage.
It's damage. You need damage to run on your Mac. But it's so cool to me to see that. You know, within a decade of us doing this, how much
I know,
the landscape
we're
is,
in that
we're
decade.
In that decade, and it's kind of funny to me because when I think about it, some of it I've noticed and some of it I haven't. Like we've been talking about the average age of gamers changing, but why and how?
Because we're changing.
You know, like we haven't really like put your hand down.
Oh, okay,
I'm not taking questions right now. But it's really interesting because we haven't talked about it in, like, depth or, you know, we talked about our friends that play games and multiplayer and the issues that we've had. I know that I've had being a female playing online. Unless I'm playing with my friends, I always get asked about my boobs. If I leave my photos open.
I know about
open,
the internet struggle. I struggle with you, sister.
If I leave my photos open, someone usually always sends me a dick that I don't want.
That's yeah. No,
it's not. And it's one of the reasons why I like, and I've talked about it before, that I strictly now only play with my friends. People
but
that I know in real
friends?
Life. It's difficult. And I hate it because I'm terrified of like when
I
people
go,
I don't
oh,
know.
Your dick's so small. I'm sorry for you.
No,
let's
I usually say
gaming.
That. No, I usually say that when I send, you
it's
know,
like, that's
respond.
Why you like big guns.
Like right before I, exactly. Right before I report them. But I get like, anxious when someone I don't know sends me a request to play a game because I'm terrified that they're either not going to be a douche, but I'm so worked up thinking that they're going to be a douche, and then I feel guilty for thinking that they're going to be a douche, or I'm justified and it turns out that they're a douche.
Well, there's a good chance that they're a douche.
That sucks, though, that you even have to have that as a consideration. And, yeah. You know, it's one of those things where with anonymity, like, people feel like they can do what they like.
Yep.
And it's sad because from their perspective, I'm sure they just think of it as just like,
I'm being funny.
I'm just fucking around. I'm not being serious.
Right. But the reality is, like, you know, they don't think about what you're talking about right there or the actual tension that could
Well, because they don't feel that tension. They think it's perceived. Enjoy.
Yeah. And so it does. It keeps me from making, like, new connections with people because I have, like, that little bit of trepidation. But it's really interesting because I can honestly say, like, in the last 6 months, that hasn't happened as often. And so I've actually played a few games. I played a little bit of the Destiny beta with a couple of random people. And I played Rise, the multiplayer, when it came out on Xbox One with some people. And surprisingly enough, I didn't have any douchey experiences. And so I'm wondering if, because the average age of gamers now is rising, if that's going to become less and less of an issue.
We could see, because we could really, see it lessen.
You know, in all honesty, almost every single one of the people that have ever, like, been douchey to me have all, I can tell, all are under the age of 20.
Easily. By the way
By the way they talk, the grammar that they use or don't use.
And frankly, they don't use,
you know, the development, because there were definitely some totally small,
like,
ones.
They're all like adorbs.
Some of them are adorbs. Most of them,
bro.
You know,
no, they're saying adorbs.
No, just, they're not saying adorbs.
I just drank my muscle milk, bro.
They're not sending anything to me that's adorbs. Many of them don't know how to properly use apostrophes or use apostrophes at all.
As a
one couldn't spell cunt correctly, and I almost felt bad for him.
I had a child that I was working with who, like, one day called me the C word. Yeah, because I have a problem saying it.
Yeah, no, I've been drinking, so I have no problem saying it.
And he was like, you're a C word. I'm like, can you spell it? Because he's like a 7-year-old kid, and he couldn't spell it because I work with delayed children. And I'm like, until you can spell it, you can't call me that. And sure enough, the next day he's like, you're a house, house. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm very supportive.
Yep.
Strong foundation, a house. Yes, I am. And I know eventually he will learn how to spell it.
I have weight-bearing, load-bearing walls, motherfucker.
I am chock full of studs. Check out my gun show.
Anyway.
And your mantle's okay, too.
It's okay.
For edifices.
But it's really cool. So if you have a chance to check out the ESA study, I highly recommend it. Because there's some really great data in there. Like, one of the things that I thought was interesting is that they put together the top 20 selling video games of 2013 versus the top 20 selling computer games of 2013. And I thought it's really kind of polarizing. I think that on PC, as far as PC gaming goes, it's easier to see where the shift in female to male demographics popped up, because the top five selling computer games, four of them are The Sims.
Wow.
So, like, number one is StarCraft 2. Number two is SimCity 2013. Number three is Sims 3 University Life Expansion Pack. The number four one is Sims 3 The Starter Pack. And number five is Sims 3. Oh, and number six is Sims 3 Island Paradise Expansion. And there's, like, 1, 2, 3, 4 other Sims expansions that are on the top 20 list.
And you want to know why that is?
Because The Sims is unassuming as far as playing the game. It's an easy cracktopia gaming.
You're not interacting with people. So you're not running into, you know, animosity or hostility.
Douchebaggery.
You are allowed to pretty much aspire to do whatever you want to do in this world. And no one is going to say, no, you can't do that.
Yep. And you can build the house of your dreams, the family of your dreams.
And currently right now, well, that's the thing, because you can get married and instantly have a baby when you get married, but, like, you can't, you know, screw. well, at all. Like, they show you the rumbling of the sheets, but, like, some people who play Sims are petitioning to make it more realistic.
Oh, there are people that are going to mob that stuff.
But needless to say, but all those are, I mean, outside of StarCraft, which is a competitive thing.
Yeah.
All these other ones give you the access to live life in a video game and not be accosted for it.
Right, and not being competitive, which I think a lot of female gamers, especially if you're not a hardcore gamer, is a attractive thing. And
feature
so there's no trepidation in jumping in and playing it. Plus, it's a game that you can pick up and put down. You don't have to...
There's no end game. There is no end of that game.
And you don't have to grind. So there's no... Yeah, there's just nothing other than just enjoying the game for what it is. And that's a very attractive thing. And I think that's why it's a very successful casual game. Because at its core, it's casual.
But you know what? It's interesting because everything you just described, you could also attribute to, like, XCOM Enemy Unknown.
Yep.
You love that game.
I do.
Dude,
I
love there's a lot of people that love XCOM.
No, I'm not saying that. But every time Lawrence comes on the show... For real, we always hear about XCOM. It's like, what have you been playing? Well,
Damn good game.
It's still XCOM, guys.
Yeah, you want to know what I was playing earlier? Wolfenstein. Why? Wolfenstein.
Within XCOM Enemy Within the expansion.
See?
I played the original Pac-Man up at the arcade.
I don't want to talk about the arcade.
That's awesome.
I was like, yay!
So I want more women to play XCOM, because that'd be awesome.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that.
Out of curiosity, what were the five
games?
Console games.
So the number one shouldn't surprise anyone. It was Grand Theft Auto 5. Number two was Call of Duty Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Number three was Madden NFL 25.
Ugh.
Number four was Battlefield 4. And number five was Assassin's Creed 4. Black Flag.
I love the friggin' audible disgust from Panda there for Madden. Ugh.
I'm sorry. I understand that there's a sport out there where you put on really tight pants, you put more pads in them to make the pants even tighter, and you run, and there's a ball somewhere, and there are poles.
Look,
I get it.
Look, I love football. And
I get fantasy leagues for those who do not have the physical, you know, ability to play the real thing. I understand fantasy leagues, and I understand the actual game.
Here comes the butt.
What I don't understand is you're playing a game where you're looking at all the stats like a fantasy league. You're not doing anything.
Well, there are people who would say,
otherwise,
fuck you, I am.
Yep, and I'm sure I will get a mail one of these days with someone who's going to challenge me.
No, you're not going to get mail. The landscape has changed. You're going to get tweets.
Good thing I don't look at my Twitter. Needless to say, like, I understand dudes want to get together and they want to watch
don't
football.
Don't say dudes. Chicks play Madden, too.
Okay, chicks. Chicks and dudes who
there's
play
like,
Madden.
There's
people,
like
people,
five handfuls.
People who play Madden.
Do. Thank you.
I don't get it. It's not my cup of tea. It's none of my business, though. But
I mean, it seems like a lot of work.
Like,
you might as well just have a fantasy.
It seems
kind of
pointless, but it's none of my business, though.
Hashtag sips are tight.
Hashtag sips are tea. No. So, I mean, and I've said this before about Madden. I take my hat off to people that live, breathe, and eat and shit Madden.
I mean, this year we got such high def that we're seeing the glistening falling off of their pants.
I'm not even about what it looks like. I almost thought about buying Madden because of the fucking commercial that they came out with Kevin Hart.
When he slapped the Franco guy?
Yes, when he slapped
him in the face.
That's how it starts. And
he's
then
like,
it just
oh,
goes
you're here?
To
smack.
Infinite ridiculousness. It's like Old Spice did a commercial for Madden, and I love it. And I almost thought about it, but then I remembered.
Kevin
Hart's not in the game, one. Two, Madden is a lot of work. And three, it's just not my cup of tea. And I love football, but I'm not into fantasy football. I don't want to manage a team. I just want to watch dudes play football.
I mean, you just taught me what penetration means in football.
Yes.
I just figured that out. Oh, hey.
I was like, I don't get why they keep saying penetrate the line. What are they talking? She's like, okay. Let's have a talk at Chili's.
Yeah, we did. We went to Chili's. We watched a football game in the bar, and I broke down the whole game.
And I was like, oh, hell? Why don't they just say when they broke the line?
And our waitress is just laughing the entire time because I'm explaining stuff. And she's just giggling every time she comes over because Panda's like, oh, so that's a down, right? And she's just like, here's your wings, and laughing. I'm like, we're learning.
I learned something very valuable that day.
I would go to Chili's with you guys.
Oh, going anywhere with us is an adventure. But
I've been with you guys to places. But yes. Chili's specifically sounds like a good time.
Especially during football season, just saying. But I just think it's really interesting. Like, if you look at the diversity of the games that make up the top five, there's no one single genre in there. You know, you've got Battlefield in there, you've got Assassins in there, Ghost, Grand Theft Auto, and Madden. Like, to me, that tells me that the landscape of gamers has changed because it's not all RPG or all shooter, where I think if you probably looked, maybe...
It's never all RPG.
No, not in North America.
Right.
Maybe in some European countries, and but Japan. Not in North America. But I just think it's very interesting when you look at that landscape, just how diverse it is. That it, to me, it really is indicative of how different the landscape of the gaming community has changed on console. You know, I think if you looked at and did this same type of listing for 2010, it'd probably be all action platformers with Madden in there, to be honest. That's because... Okay. I can't imagine Madden ever not being in the top five.
Sadly.
Not sadly. Like, look, I got issues with EA. We are not on their good list because we have issues with EA. But you can talk whatever shit you want to about EA. EA releases a bunch of games that we all want to play.
Agreed.
Okay.
It's not a bunch of games. It's some games.
Dude, freaking Mass Effect.
It's none of his business, though.
Mass Effect, anything, my money.
You have it.
Mass Effect's a ringer, though. EA didn't develop Mass Effect.
No, I'm not talking about developing. I'm talking about releasing.
Right. No, I'm just saying. They released some game.
They were all like, "Is your game done? Okay, we're shipping it. Bye.
Ready? Is your game done? We bought you. It's our game. Ha ha."
Totally, yeah.
Right. That's kind of what happened. Like,
what, outside of Mass Effect, what was the last EA game you bought?
Last EA game that I bought?
No, played.
No, I thought you said bought.
No, he said played.
Oh,
no,
shit.
I said bought. Oh, but
okay. Never mind. I heard played.
We can say played if you want to do that.
The last EA game that I played was Battlefield. The last EA game that I bought was arcade game. What the fuck was it?
Don't ask me. I don't know.
I can't remember.
Okay.
I legit can't remember, but it was an arcade game.
I was like, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah, no.
The reality is that us here, and you know, we're a cross-section of games. Of gamers here. It's like, if it wasn't for the BioWare acquisition, there'd only be so many EA games we'd even be looking for.
Agreed. Completely agreed. Because almost all of them that I've purchased are BioWare games.
Right. Exactly. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying EA is still a juggernaut, but what they put out is Madden and like racers. I mean, they're sports. If you're a sports gamer, you have to mess with EA.
Yep.
But I happen not to be a sports gamer, and you guys aren't that big of sports gamers necessarily.
Nope.
So it's just like, you know, hey, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from EA.
Nope.
I'm just saying, look, if it wasn't for them acquiring BioWare, I could probably do without them if I really had to, at least these days.
Yeah. Because I haven't played a Sims game in, like, forever.
Right.
I know I played 3 early
on. Wait, did they do Spore?
Yeah.
I played Spore. Yeah. That's the last PC-ish game I played from them.
And that was what, 2000?
That was a while ago.
7?
I think so.
I think it was 6 or 7.
Yeah, like a like, long time ago.
Yeah.
I liked Spore. Because
I liked Spore. Spore was good.
Scott Rubin was going to convention.
Wait, he still goes, but in a different capacity these days.
And, seriously, that's
true.
And still, I'm telling you right now, you have not lived until you've had the avocado ice cream from Nitropod, because that shit is delicious.
I've never had it.
It's delicious.
Let me tell you.
Insane.
Let me tell you, I hate avocado. It's the worst thing in the world to me. Like, literally, I hate everything about them. That ice cream is delicious.
I know. It seems like it shouldn't be ripe, but it's so good in your mouth.
Okay.
It's very good in your mouth.
Two out of three of us agree, and yeah. I can't base it because I haven't had any.
But other games that appear on the top 20 video games for 2013, just in different places, which I think is kind of cool, is that there are a couple of sports games in there. Obviously, FIFA's in there. NBA 2K13's in there. But... and 2K14, but Injustice is in there, Disney Infinity is in there, like Disney Infinity is actually number 10.
Interesting.
Yeah, Pokemon X is in there.
Hell yeah.
Last of Us is in there.
Double hell yeah.
Bioshock Infinite's in there.
That's good too.
The Batman Arkham Origins is in there. The Lego Marvel Superheroes game is in there.
Origins? Why don't you like Origins, Panda?
I've been trying to get her to play Batman
games. She gave me all three, and I'm like, and I start them, and then I'm like, and I'm done.
Really?
It hurt my soul.
I can't get into the Batman game.
Hurt my soul.
I can watch them and be all into it, but the minute you give me the control, I'm like, I'm going to take a nap.
Meanwhile, this one over here is salivating for Evil Within. So,
yeah.
I can't even. I don't know where to discuss that. Between that and the PT demo.
Holy shit, man.
I couldn't even play the PT demo, okay? I'm owning up being a man about that. I said hell to the no. I threw my hands up, sang my song. Mm-mm. Nope. No. Nope.
Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Mm-mm.
Nope. I mean, it's none of my business, though.
Yeah, you can, y'all can have that.
I will. Thank you.
Just enjoy that. I like sleeping comfortably at the night.
I enjoy sleep.
No. But, the only other thing that was in the study that I thought was, like, the final, yep, we have arrived, is just how much consumers spend on games and game-related stuff. Now, we've talked before about the video game industry being a billion-dollar industry, but we've never really had, like, the number of billions. And in all honesty, I really thought that it was like a $3 billion industry.
I thought seven.
Which is good billions, okay? Because it's a buh, not a muh.
No, I mean, it's at least...
I would not snark at a mm either.
21.5.
Bill.
Wait, in 2013.
You said 21?
21.5.
So round that up, that's
dollars.
22 mil, Bill, son.
Oh,
in
I
2013.
Didn't
know that. Yeah, neither did I. 21.5 billion. Yeah.
Billion.
I'm about to go marry a friggin' game executive.
Okay. 15.4 billion of that was spent on content. Almost 2 billion of that was spent on accessories, and 4.3 billion of that was spent on hardware. So software killing hardware. Hardware, like, which is stuff that we've all known. We know that killer apps are what move boxes.
Yep.
Right.
But the apps are really what has been driving the industry. And when you think of it being an over $20 billion industry.
Where all that money go? No, I'm just kidding. I know where it went.
Also, too, you got to think about the fact that, you know, we've kind of moved to a spot where, you know, you can buy games without necessarily buying hardware these days.
Yep. You know, you don't have to buy physical disc games.
Nope.
You know, there are a lot of people, I've got a couple of friends in my groups on Xbox One who have, when they bought the console, said they were doing nothing but digital. They weren't buying any more disc-based games. And so between arcade and digital download, and, you know, with the update that's coming in the fall that's going to allow you to have external storage for the Xbox, you really don't have to have disc-based games anymore.
Right.
You know, with DLC, there's so much more expansion now. Before, you had to buy a game, and then when the expansion came out, you bought the expansion.
Yeah, my Diablo 2. I have the two expansions after that. Same with WoW.
You know, and now all of that is digital, direct. Day one. You know, freaking the Call of Duty game has a day zero that you can buy that will basically let you play the game before it's even in stores on disc. Mm-hmm. And that pre-sale was going through the fucking roof.
I can only imagine.
You know, it's amazing, again, coming back to how the landscape has changed, not just with the demographics of who gamers are and who's playing and the average time that gamers spend in games, how mobile gaming has changed the face of it, you know,
I think they've had to change the access. Because we're in a culture now where things are immediate. We want it now. We wanted it 2 weeks ago.
Look, I think the thing is that if we can have it now, we want can have now. My money now. Like, if I can't have it now, you don't have my money now. And well, that's forced.
But that's not necessarily true, because with pre-orders, you know what's coming out.
And, yeah, but pre-orders outside of, like, AAA franchises are dying.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, outside of your big games like your Call of Duty, Advanced like Warfare. Destiny, I was like,
take my money now.
Yes, Destiny, I was like, here's my money now, because I can't get it any other way, because every disc version of it is sold out everywhere. Yep. Yes, I will take the digital download. Here's my money. But, you know, in all honesty, the only things that I pre-ordered were Hyrule Warriors, Destiny, and Assassins, because I'm an Assassins freak. That's it. I haven't pre-ordered anything else. There are a lot of other games before and after every title that I just mentioned that I will eventually own and play. But as far as pre-orders, I want it day one. Those are really the only three. And you know, I love me some Call of Duty.
I know you do. You said duty.
I said duty.
That's a dork.
But it's just, it's really interesting. And the amount of money actually that was spent on digital versus physical sales mirrors that. You know, in 2010, 71% of consumer money was spent on physical sales of discs and content, and in 2013, 47% was spent on physical and 53% was total digital. So, you know, the landscape has dramatically changed. Instant on is the winner. And I think that, you know, when you talk about how much online gameplay has changed, really, I think how the community games together, instead of always having to have somebody come over your house or go over someone's house and bring extra consoles and TVs and get a LAN together. Now I don't have to get a LAN together. I just have to have decent bandwidth, and I can game with, in a bunch of games these days now, 13, 11 other people. If you're still playing Mag, 30 other people. I think they have like 2 servers left. I don't know. But it's crazy when you think of how multiplayer has changed, the landscape of gamers have changed, and we've been along for the ride.
True.
Yes.
You know, we've gone through, you know, crappy headsets from Logitech that were $20 to...
I still have it as a skeleton to remind me of what bad looks like.
You know, but you think about it, like, that's what we started with, and now there's a whole industry of completely upscale headsets. We're rocking Astros right now. Like, Turtle Beach. Yes. Remember back in the day when nobody knew what Turtle Beach was?
And it was, like, the new headset to get.
Okay, and you had to go to specialty stores to even find someone that carried Turtle Beach or Triton. Remember when the only headsets you could get were Turtle Beach or Triton headsets?
Yep.
Yep. And now what?
Okay, and the landscape now is ridiculous. Okay, Gunner Optics.
Yeah.
Okay, like, didn't exist. There was no goggles or glasses for gaming. We've got
your geek eyes already had that naturally built in.
Freaking MLG, which when it started, everyone said, we'll give them a year. There's no way it's going to last. Esports and MLG, legit. Okay,
didn't they just recognize professional gamers as athletes recently?
Yep. And they raised the starting minimum in the MLG league. So starting minimum now is almost $60,000 a year.
Whoa.
Okay? Do you know how many jobs I had to work before I started making that kind of money?
Why can't I be that good at games?
Indeed.
You should have been a frag doll.
Look, I wasn't hot enough.
Games. It just turns out it's only XCOM.
And unfortunately, it's not an ESL sport.
Right.
Recognized sport.
Right.
Wait, English is a second language sport?
If they decide to have a populist league, I'm in.
You know, and we will be your rah-rah section.
Rah-rah, sis boomba.
I will, in fact, get pom-poms.
And like twerk.
Killing it in populace, yo.
Yo, I used to be the shit in columns, and if that ever, ever becomes an MLG game, it is on. I will have a little clan. We'll have really, really cool shirts. It's going to be awesome. Razer will sponsor us. But, like, you think of that landscape and so many different companies that do peripherals. You know,
yeah.
I have an amazing console joystick downstairs for playing fighting games. I never would have imagined having a massive, lacquered, full-on console joystick, like, from the arcade. One that was affordable, two that I would actually be able to use with a gaming system in my home.
Right.
And now they're legit.
Yep.
It's just, it's been such a cool ride to be a part of. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've lasted doing it for as long as we've done this, is because it keeps changing and it's just so fun and unique.
Yeah, the industry will always give you something to talk about. And that's really like what kind of has supported, I think, this community and those of us that decide to talk about games where, you know, I mean, I'm no expert in a bunch of other industries, but what I will say is that from the outside, it doesn't seem as if a lot of things are constantly changing in a lot of other industries. They do eventually, but video games will do it year to year.
Almost because they have to, because if you keep doing the same thing, you lose your audience.
I mean, it's kind of like when you look at jobs, like a lot of IT jobs that people, you know, go to for computer science and all this stuff. It's constantly changing. So there's always going to be a need for people who can learn stuff fast enough to then put it in a professional sense, which is, there's always evolution there. And this lives in that realm of stuff. So as long as there's always change and innovation, there will always be life in it.
And I think that technology is one of those spaces that has to happen in order for it to exist as an industry.
If it stops moving, it's going to die.
Exactly. And I think that, like, one of the things that we've been talking about and we've all been waiting for is kind of the lull to come back in to the game industry, you know, because we've seen it kind of peak. And there have been a lot of people who said, okay, we're going to go back into a bad times just again, just like in the 80s. And it's going to be real tough. And as long as we survive this lull, the industry will be fine. I don't think that we're going to have a lull like we did in the 80s. And I think it's going to be because, one, the age of gamers has changed. You know, in the 80s, what happened was a chunk of younger gamers got older and didn't continue to game. And that's what killed the industry, not anything else.
Society told them they should not do that.
Yeah, and so they stopped doing it, and that's why arcades died. Well, now you have older gamers who are in their 30s go, fuck you, you can't tell me what to do, I'll do whatever the hell I want. And yeah, I like My Little Pony, and I also like Battlefield. So guess what? I'm going to have
I'm gonna get a t-shirt with Applejack with a Call of Duty t-shirt on.
I am going to put a My Little Pony skin on my Xbox, and I'm going to play Battlefield. Suck it, Trebek.
I'm going to make my girlfriend draw me as a brony.
I'm going to wear a friggin' pink body stocking with a tail and a combat vest and dare you to say something.
Dare you. See you at Comic-Con, bitch. Like, and I love that. Like, you know, in looking at the landscape of how Comic-Cons have changed. You know, they were...
How cons in general have changed.
Cons in general have changed, but Comic-Cons especially, because you gotta remember, the genesis of Comic-Cons were comic book sellers going to an arena to sell books. That's it.
Yep.
That's what Comic-Con was. It was just to
and
get...
And then someone said, I want to learn how to make comic books. Panel. Boom.
Sellers from the entire region in one spot so that you could find those rare books that your local guy didn't have. That's what Comic-Con was. It wasn't movies were going to be announced and stars were going to be there and signings. Okay? The nucleus was book selling. And then it became book selling and showing your art off. Bringing your portfolio to try and get into the industry. And now you look at Comic-Cons, people are making amazing costumes based off of characters that they love and showing it off and being mini celebrities for the day. Okay? You've got the big Comic Cons are where now bunches of studios are bringing their stars, doing panels, launching new titles, premiering trailers, doing Q&As. And oh yeah, you've got book selling that's happening and art selling that's happening. But then you have other things that have now introduced themselves into Comic Cons. And I think that it's so interesting to see that over this last decade, how many things that used to be things that you kept to yourself, you didn't share unless it was with your closest friends, that people shat on you for being immature and childish.
People still tell me I'm childish and immature.
Yeah, but fuck them. But they're, although if I say it, it's for different reasons, not because you're a nerd. But it's so interesting to see that now almost all of that shit is mainstream. Like, I was sitting and I was looking, and I think it was you, Lawrence, who posted it, a photo on Facebook of all the upcoming comic book-based movies that are dropping between now and 2018, and some of which I was not aware of.
Well,
so look,
news for you. Just for clarification, that turned out, like, the dates are real, but all those movies haven't been confirmed yet, unfortunately, which I was sad about. But, yeah. But yeah, but the fact is, even if it was real, people would be excited for all of those.
I mean, think about it. I mean, I'm looking forward to Age of Ultron.
Yeah, of course. The whole world's looking forward to Age of Ultron.
And that's the thing that's so cool. The world is looking forward to Age of Ultron. Not just my nerdy friends. My not nerdy friends are looking forward to it. I have chicks that I work with at my day job who don't know anything about comic books but love the Thor movies because of Chris Hemsworth. And I'll take it. Because they went. They bought
tickets.
And they
go and they're like, I don't understand this.
Doesn't matter, but he's hot, so I'm going to keep going. And I'm going, thank you, because that means that Marvel will continue to make these movies.
Yep.
No, you have to understand, man, like, even as long, like, just as short as, like, I want to say, like, 3-4 years ago, if you had said to me, man, you're going to be able to have, like, just random conversations about Thanos and the Guardians of the Galaxy with just anyone on the street, I would have laughed at you, like, in your face. Like, no, because, you know, people don't know anything about that.
Well, and like, three...
I love it, and I want to talk about those things, but, you know, like, people don't want to talk about that. And sure enough, man, it's like, just randomly, people are just like, hey, man, what's up with these Guardians of the Galaxy? I'm like, oh, my God, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's true, though, because, like, 3 years ago, if you had told me that that any studio was going to make a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I would have been like, no, they're not. There's, 12 people on the planet who know Guardians of the Galaxy that would want a movie. There's no way.
Wait, the funny thing was on Fantastic Forum, which, you know, is our show that we do on allgames.com on Monday nights, 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific. Shameless.
Plug.
Right. Joe from Fantastic Forum literally said on the show, like, you know, I want a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And it's right there in our archives where I told Joe, listen, there'll never be a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And it's not that I don't want it. It's just not going to happen. So don't want it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, you know, I basically told him to, like, just get it out of his head. And then I think, like, it might have been that Comic-Con, that next Comic-Con, where they were like, Guardians of the Galaxy from Marvel. Like, get out of here.
So did you save the clip and then cut it out, and then did he throw it in your face in the next show?
Well, absolutely. Come on now. Joe doesn't know anything about decorum.
He's like, so what did you say about that? No Guardians of the Galaxy?
Him, Moses, Oz, all of them were just like, dude, you got to eat crow on that one. And I did. I took my licks like a man. But trust me, realistically, I was happy to be wrong because, I mean, I'm like, it's Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, oh my God, like what?
I mean, I think I love for the fact that we got a confirmation of the second one before the first one had even become available for viewing. Like, by the way, no one's coming.
Disney is not dumb. Okay. And let's all remember that Marvel is now a Disney company.
Yep.
Right.
Because I think sometimes it's easy to forget.
Because now Star-Lord's going to be a prince of Disney.
So what we have to look forward to is once Disney has all the rights to all these characters, they will then reboot them. And there will be new
cartoons,
Avengers movies, probably Thor movies. And then I can't imagine that there won't be new Guardians movies. Especially because they've already moved to put all those characters into Infinity 2.
Yep.
Oh, so the game Infinity, yeah. Yeah,
into Infinity 2. So Disney plans on riding Marvel's fucking properties into their Disney vault where Scrooge McDuck swims and all of Disney's money. And I'm okay with that because I thought that the Guardians movie was pretty damn well done.
Yep, we went to go see it.
It made a shit ton of money.
It did make a lot of money.
Which was fantastic to see. Because that means that mainstream audiences went to it, not just nerd audiences. Because
Chris Pratt was really sexy.
Because Zoe Saldana was very sexy.
They were both really, they were all really sexy, especially that raccoon. Damn. Okay. When he jostled his, like, nutsack, I was like, damn. And I went and saw that in 3D, I'm like, oh, okay.
Raccoon nuts. It's
raccoon nuts.
I can't.
And Bradley Cooper was like owning it.
Of all the characters that you could be like, and then when he jostled his nuts, I was like, yeah.
I was
really
like,
Rocket?
Because you could tell he was a tortured soul inside because he had been manipulated. And then when he got his head pat and his eyes got really, really big, I had a weeby moment. I was like, oh.
Well, when so Groot, spoilers, when Groot died, that was a very sad moment.
And he was just,
for poor little
and then
Rocket.
Crax is just petting him. And he's all like, what is this sensation? Okay. It was the cutest thing ever. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the merchandising, of course, is not doing too shabbily either.
Nope.
You know, so
you can't get those Groot Funkos anymore. They're like, you can't get them.
I know. And when the potted ones are available, they're just going to get all the money, too. I mean, you've already seen it kind of peek through in other areas. You know, when baby metal hit.
Yes.
And people in the U.S. became aware of it. My social feeds blew up. And all of a sudden...
Oh, man, are those girls punny.
Okay, but seriously, but all of a sudden, a big chunk of people who had no knowledge of, like, J-pop culture, K-pop culture, and that kind of stuff.
We're like, wait,
were like messaging me. But seriously, we're messaging me on different platforms like, do you know anything about this
baby metal
thing? And like, is this like a legit thing? And is there more of it? And
are there
like,
more reasons for me to really want to be with Asian women?
I was like, hold on. I would like to introduce you to allkpop.com. So let's spend some time. I would like to give you a dissertation.
Just so you know, they have all the same music we do, just in Japanese.
And Korean, and Cantonese, and pretty much any other Asian language. But it's all the same stuff. So there's Korean Usher.
Yes,
there's like a lot of them. There's,
Jay Park.
Yes. Oh, Jay Park. Anyway.
Korean Usher, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, for real. So, Jay Park is totally the Korean Usher.
I will put money on it right now. Jay Park is Korean Usher. I said
what?
It. He's K-pop. What?
What? I want Japanese Jay-Z.
You know, what's the fuck is his name? I can't remember what his name is, but there's a dude. Anyway, they're all there. They exist, and it's awesome.
G-Dragon when he isn't trying to be
Japanese
Usher.
Jay-Z, and what you'll find is a Jay-Z concert over in Japan.
Yep.
And there's just a whole lot of people going, G-ga, and it's awesome. Just saying.
I saw that video, I'm like, should I? Yeah, they don't mean it. They don't mean it
that way. It's okay.
It's okay. You it's sing. Okay. You yep. sing and enjoy yourself.
They can say it. They are allowed. I pardon them. So
appreciate the hova.
I pardon them. They can say it. But it's just, it's so cool that the evolution has happened and we've been able to be a part of it and commentate on it. And that's like the neatest thing of the last 8 years.
Oh, I love spreading my opinions and not giving a fuck.
Yeah, I love sharing my opinions too. You know, the whole reason that we started doing this, like I said, was because we cracked each other up and our friends up. So we figured, what the hell? We'll record it. It'll let me play around with some audio gear and we'll put it out there and whoever likes it. And you know what? If nobody ends up liking it, hey, we'll just keep doing it until we don't enjoy doing it anymore.
They can go eat a Pop-Tart of farts.
Correct.
For all I care.
And then what happened was a ton
people
of people
liked it.
And so we keep doing it and they keep liking it. And we like being a part of it. And we've met amazing people.
I like having my own soapbox.
I like having a big soapbox. Like, a little soapbox doesn't mean shit. But having, like, a big, like, soapbox mean something.
I have a medium soapbox.
I have a big one because I'm shorter. So in order to be, I need it to be taller because it's not, I have like a little Napoleon complex.
No, really?
Fuck you. But
from a place I must own everything.
But from a place of love and understanding.
Sure.
But it's just been really cool to be a part of it. And we've met great people in the industry, like Lawrence, you know, DCD, and...
Hey, Lawrence.
You know, especially Lawrence. Hey, Lawrence. No, like, no joke. Lawrence really helped us get our jump off from that
I'm
first,
not saying nay. I that, always hear the little Kip song whenever you talk about
it. No, like, legit. From the first E3 that I went to, that I bumped into Lawrence and Jess and Scott. And I was having a hard time, because this is back when it was on the pier, and we were going from hotel to hotel. And and I wasn't officially invited to E3, but I was invited to media briefings, so I went. And I was having a hard time getting people to pay attention to me. And I bumped into Lawrence coming out of, I think, a BioShock preview. Oh,
it probably wasn't BioShock. It might have been BioWare, right?
No, it was, I think it was the original BioShock.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, there you go.
It was back in the day.
That sure as fuck dates you.
Yep, because it was, and it was that 2K's thing, and I think Chase was the guy running the desk, and he was giving me, like, no love to get in, and I was like, okay, well, I'll just leave my name, and, you know, even though the other person running the booth said to come by, it's cool, and I was getting ready to leave, and Lawrence and Oscar came out, and Lawrence gave me a big hug. And the PR guy was like, wait. And he shuffled back through his cards to find my card that I'd given him. Because he's like, oh, well, if all games know her, she must be like a legit deal. And then ushered me in to see BioShock in the next seating.
Nice.
And so, like, I have never forgotten that to this day, because that was the first door that opened. Because that's how we got our contact at 2K. And then from there, we got contacts at Bethesda, and it just blew up from
there. I love Bethesda.
And it was a simple little hug. So, you know, it's so cool. I think that was, like, the year that you introduced me to hip-hop at the Microsoft party. It was crazy. It was great. And the industry has been such a wonderful thing to be a part of. And so thank you for helping us get our shine on, for having us on All Games Interactive.
No, please. Like, it's not. You guys are gonna get your shine on regardless. I'm just happy that I was able to be there as you were shining.
Oh, shucka doodles. But
I would blush, but you know I can't.
Yeah, no. I mean, you try.
I can try really hard, and it just looks like I'm constipated.
It does. So don't, because it's really uncomfortable.
I know, which is why I don't do it.
Yeah. But it's been a great 8 years, and so thank you for being part of that, Lawrence, and
for letting me be a part. Yay!
for everyone listening to our podcast, for everyone who's ever listened to a podcast episode or ever read anything that we've written in these last 8 years, we really appreciate it. We love you. We've got some shout outs from some folks around the industry and fans to help us celebrate episode 400. So to get to that, I'm just going to remind you, as always, to check out the stuff that we write on egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. New stuff daily you'll find there. Our podcast you will find at electricsisterhood.com, our home away from home. You'll find us on Stitcher Radio. You'll find us in the iTunes Store, both on your desktop as well as in the podcast application on your iOS device, searching for Electric Sisterhood and subscribing. We're in the Microsoft Store. We're on the Voice of Gamers Network.
Voice of Geeks!
Did I say gamers?
Yeah.
God damn it! See, this is what happens when I drink!
It's the Bob Voice Network. It's the Voice of Geeks Network.
Should drink less when we podcast.
I know. But I don't even drink during podcasts anymore.
It's a celebration, bitches.
It's right. So go ahead. You have your drink.
So, VogNetwork.com. Seriously, if it's a podcast search engine, you will find us there. So grab the Eshcast. You will always enjoy it. For 8 years, we've been doing it. And we'll continue to do it till it's not fun anymore. And I just don't see that not happening because, damn it, Panda, you're fun to podcast with.
If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be here.
I know you wouldn't. So
obviously there's some tender vittles there, some tender heartstrings.
Yeah.
I have enjoyed being committed to something for as long as this.
I know.
It surprises not only our fans, but myself personally. I have enjoyed developing a voice that people enjoy listening, especially when I decide I'm going to make sense.
Yeah, I love that.
And especially when I don't make sense. They tend to like me better when I don't make sense.
That's because you're funny as shit.
I guess. I don't know.
No, no.
I don't laugh at my own jokes.
I know, but you should because you're funny.
So, I mean, I'm grateful for everyone who's ever come with me with an idea that they were scared to even talk about. I'm like, this was not an idea that I birthed. My sister was like, we should do this. And I said, okay. Like, I was totally that person who jumps on your coattails. And then it kind of became a thing. And then it became a thing that I really liked.
And then it wasn't coattails anymore. And it was an afghan.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't an afghan. It was a blanket.
Yep. And now it's like a tent.
Now it's like a tent.
And I am thankful every day that...
I think we just knocked poor Lawrence on his feet.
Our podcast is like a tent that you can stand under when it rains.
I think the Ish sisters just talked about popping a tent, and I'm very confused.
Well, I didn't say anything about verbing the tent. I just said Ish is a tent.
Oh, I think I...
But you went someplace that I wasn't even thinking about.
I've been drinking.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Just saying.
But, I mean, we have met so many great people who have inspired us to... you know, continue on the avenue that we were on. And even when there were times that, you know, we were ready to kind of just walk away.
The Game Hounds crew, the Married Gamers.
Yeah.
You know.
The Mommy Gamers.
DCD. DCD. Shadow Next Gen.
Yeah.
Hip Hop Gamer. Structure Gaming. Like, there's so many people. Evan Narcisse. The Detoid crew, like, it's just been an amazing ride to go from just two chicks, literally in different places across the country, talking about video games, to being legit community journalists and loving what we do and being respected for it. It's just icing on the cake, and being able to, you know, be a part of this community with great people like Lawrence and, the fam at All Games, and the fam at Vogue, and the fam basically in the entire gaming journalist community has been awesome.
The only more awesome thing would be for me is to have very nerdy children who then become better at this.
I was gonna say
me.
Like getting paid for it, but
well,
yeah, I mean, that too.
Well, yeah, I'd love
nerd babies, but nerd, that's a given because they're gonna be your kids.
I know, but if they could reach or attain something higher than me, well, I would be very jelly. I would also, and I meant jelly as in jealous.
Really? Oh my God.
I'm about to say, I'm like, I'm hungry.
You're like having this moment and then you completely
killed it with
jelly.
No, but I would be, young panda me would be like, oh, hell no. But like mentoring mother panda would be like, those are my kids.
And you just talked about being a mom on the podcast.
Yep.
So,
because I'm 30, and apparently that's what happens when you become 30 years old.
No, it doesn't. So,
the
that's
clock
just you.
Ticks.
That's just you.
For who the bell tolls?
Wouldn't they be cubs?
They would be cubs.
Oh, God.
Dude, they would be panda cubs.
Yes,
and the will
would.
Is not ready. So, Lawrence, Fantastic Forum, one more time. Where can people find that and listen to it?
And that's not all he's a part of, too.
I was starting with that, and then I was going to
say
the
other
one.
Sorry.
I mean, I've been drinking, but I ain't been drinking.
Oh, Fantastic Forum can be found at allgames.com Monday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific time. So that's when we go live. And, of course, you'll also can find it in podcast format, like everywhere on allgames.com, iTunes, whatever you like.
And then there's also another great show that Lawrence can be found on, Gekken, which where can people find that?
You know what? You can find Gekken at geeknation.com. It's only in podcast format. You can find that every Friday. And it's me and Crixley, and we have a good time. Also, I should mention that I also do co-host on the comic book show, which is on Twin Galaxies Live periodically. And you can just go to twingalaxieslive.com. That airs live as well on Wednesday nights starting at 9 p.m. Pacific time. So check that show out. Sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm not. But whether I'm there or not, it's always a good time. So mess with it.
You heard it here first, folks. So, as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And he's Mayor Young. And until next time, episode 401, we're out of here, folks.
Peace!
Yeah. Nuts, Jocelyn.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Hip Hop Gamer. You already know what it is. Bang, bang, start game. Shots fired. You already know I go down. I want to give a big, big shout out, a big warm welcome to my peoples over there, Electric Sisterhood, for doing their 400th episode. That podcast is crazy. All right, so make sure you check them out. Support. It's your boy, Hip Hop Gamer. I'm out, man. One.
Hola, this is Zach Deft. Felicidades a las chicas de Electric Sisterhood por su episodio 400. In case you didn't understand that, congratulations to Panda and Ninja for their 400th episode. Hopefully we'll get 400 more. Keep up the great work.
Hello, sisters and brothers. This is King Baby Doc, the host of No Borders, No Race on Ash's brother's site, Boston Bastard Brigade. Want to give a big congrats to Ninja Sister and Pandalicious for hitting the big 400 episode mark. 400 shows, it's incredible. These ladies have a passion for gaming, tech, and all things geek that you don't see often in this industry. It's a feeling that's real, a sense of love for what they do in and out of this world of ours. Whether it's behind the mic, in their writings, or doing it live on the convention floors, you can always bet on these two sisters getting the job done right and in their own unique way. Again, congrats on episode 400, and I hope we are celebrating in 2 years' time when you reach the 500,000 achievement.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Uriah from The Show Radio. Just wanted to wish you, the Electric Sisterhood, a very awesome congratulations for reaching 400 episodes. You are awesome, and you rock. Continue to rock out, you know, with your guitar and whatever instrument or plastic instrument that you want to use. Have fun with it. And once again, congratulations and peace.
Hey, this is Paris, co-host over at Gamertag Radio. Just wanted to say a big congratulations to the Electric Sisterhood for 400 episodes. Great job, guys.
Hey, Ninja and Panda, it's Phil the Issues Guy. I just wanted to say a huge congratulations of your 400th episode. That's like super exciting. That is awesome. And I just wanted to thank you guys for all your support. If it wasn't for all your help and love, I would not be able to do the silliness I do on issuesprogram.com. And I'd like to thank you guys. You guys are awesome. And I can't wait for 400 more. And it's amazing to be a part of the land of Esh. And I'm so excited to be a part of this great thing with you guys and being able to celebrate. I'm turning into an old ranty Jew now. I'm like, oh, thank you guys. You guys are the great guys. You're such a minch. You're a minch. You're a silly minch, and I'm going to play a song. Happy 400. Unga shaga 400. Sorry, I've been on vacation. My silliness is bottled up while I set up the new home of Issue Studios. But seriously, guys, thank you so much for all your support over the last couple of years on building Issues Program and everything. And I'm ranting because that's what I do. I rant. That's my thing. But I'll leave you now, as I'm sure I'm rolling my own eyes at me. So again, congratulations, awesome. Talk to you guys soon. Love you both. Bye.
Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Ninja Sister and Pandalicious on their 400th episode. You can find me on Twitter, Divis, or Send It Leo, and I hope to hear many more episodes from you guys. Have a great day.
Hello, people of Electric Sisterhood. Tis I, Chris O'Regan of Spong and host of The Sausage Factory, here with my message of congratulations in getting to 400 episodes of your glorious podcast. Many other shows have come and gone while yours remain resolutely on the air. Well done, I tip my hat to you. Oh, and if you get this message too late, then happy 401st episode. I'm sure it'll be just as awesome as the previous 400.
Like, no, legit, like, we love having you on the show, dude. Anytime you want to be on, just let us know.
If we ever make an Electric Neighborhood, you could totally move in, because I don't think you want to trade your penis for a vagina.
Vagina!
That's hilarious. So if I decide to come on the show regularly, you guys
no,
just
actually,
make it...
we would totally make the exception for your man piece, because you're awesome.
Look, we started calling this thing the Eshcast, like, a year ago, so
people could totally just come on board.
Exactly.
Dude, whoa, that sounded very suggestive. I didn't mean it that way.
Even if I came on regularly, I would never ask you guys to change the name to Electric Sisterhood. As far as I'm concerned, that's what it is. Like, yeah. Like,
you're so adorable.
See, and that's why he should get the role.
I didn't say adorbs.
He should get the role.
Definitely a lesbian trapped in a man's body. It's okay.
Okay, fantastic.
There it is.
But yeah, no, anytime you want to be on, dude, just holler at us. We love having you on. It's always a blast.
I love being on with you guys, so that's awesome.
All right, enjoy your day, and this fucker will be live tomorrow. 400! Yeah! The
oh, we missed. Let's try again. Yay! Okay, there we go, good.
Will do.
We got it.
And I will talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, Lauren.